Morning to each one. It's nice to worship together. Enjoyed the song service and look forward to the rest of the service. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for your care for us. Thank you for a dry building to be in, a warm. Thank you for such wonderful weather that refreshes the ground. God, I pray that you would send showers of blessings into our lives. God, I think of the song that says, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Help us, God, to see you in new ways and in old ways, that we would understand your love for us and that we would be inspired to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'm going to speak on Romans 10, and for a title, I came up with The Personal Gospel for Everyone. The Personal Gospel for Everyone. I want to go ahead and read the chapter, and then I'll work my way through with some of my thoughts. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I love the simplicity of the gospel that comes out through this chapter. That God delights in faith. He delights in us responding to him, to his initiatives in our lives. And towards the end, it talks about how we are sent. That we get to participate in taking God to people. looking at the first two verses, he talked about it in chapter 9, and he talks about it here again, that he wishes that the Jews would accept salvation, that they would be saved. Jesus should have been the source of their good desires and the fulfillment of them. But it seems like they wanted their ideas of God's best. And they became sidetracked by making interpretations of what they thought righteousness looked like. I don't know, I'm not super versed with the laws that they added to Moses's law, but it seems like Jesus was pretty condemning of their ideas of getting nitpicky and missing huge pieces of what God had in mind. It seems like God shoots for the heart, and the Jews had become entangled with details. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I don't know. Paul's pretty bold to say that they're ignorant of God's righteousness. It's like, wow. If I read through the Old Testament, I feel like I get a huge picture of how righteous God is. But yeah, they had the Mosaic Law to point them to God's righteousness. But they made their own law, or additions to the law, to meet their standard. And in spite of all that, it seems like they missed the heart that God wants a heart attitude of responding to God, of submission to God's standard. It seems like maybe their additions and trying to define it all may have been some of the cause of them missing Jesus when he came. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's a pretty bold statement that Jesus is the end. Jesus is our righteousness and the fulfillment of the law. No matter where you're from, when you believe in Jesus, you are declared righteous, and God continually leads you into his righteous perfection. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. Seems like the Old Testament was a useful set of rules. It helped the survival of humanity and survival of a civilization. I think it helped people to work together well for there to be a law. But I had to think about Jesus' statement to Peter. He said that he that liveth by the sword shall die by the sword. It seems like the opposite is also true of the law. He that liveth by the law dieth by the law. And yeah, if we compare ourselves to the law, we'll find ourselves lacking, and therefore we'll be condemned. Galatians 3:10 says, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the law, in the book of the law, to do them. So the Jews were trying to live by the law, but falling short, and all of us do. But verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. I pondered this verse for a long time, or these two verses, and yeah, it might just be saying don't question the afterlife, because we have an example of Jesus descending into the lower parts of the earth, and then we have him going to heaven to intercede for us. But what I take from these verses is that faith is a personal journey. It's probably going to look different for each of us. And What God wants for us to do is to respond to what he speaks to us. And we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to we don't have to get all the unknowns nailed down. And that we should be careful what we do with other people, because it seems like maybe it's like deciding who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. But God wants to talk to us. He wants to interact with us personally. And it doesn't, we don't need to be caught up in figuring out where other people's eternal destiny is. And it seems like the verses say that if we do get caught up in that, we might end up contradicting the very gospel that we're believing in. I don't know whose, heresy he was trying to address, but it seems like whoever was asking these questions wasn't understanding what Jesus had done for us. That he went to the lower parts of the earth to preach the spirits in prison. We know that Jesus went to heaven and went to a hell. So let's not condemn or justify anyone. Okay, but this righteousness which is of faith speaketh, in verse 8, said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. God isn't someone who's far off and unreachable. The journey to perfection is different for each person in their situation, but it always involves hearing God's voice in our heart and following him. And it will always lead us to Jesus. Verse 9 through 11, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus is not only real, but he is our Lord. I think if we ponder what it means for us to confess Jesus as Lord, I wish I would have studied more into what it meant to live under a Lord in England or Europe, but I get the idea that you're pretty much their pawn. They decide what your life looks like, and you live like that, or you have to move off the land, or I don't know, live a life of a beggar. But God is our Lord. Jesus is our Lord. He defines our lives and he directs our steps. He's thankfully a loving Lord. If we state this to be so and believe that God raised him, salvation is the result for us. This is the simple gospel. This gospel is for everyone, for all humanity. As I thought about these verses, I realized there's a lot of theology bound up in them. If you think about what it says about who Jesus is, what it says about our relationship with him, what it says about the afterlife. But I think we need to not get caught up in figuring out all the theology. We don't have to have that all worked out. We just need a simple belief that he is our Lord and that he has victory over death. He has victory over death. He will give it to us. We can have confidence in Jesus and what he's done for us. And the beautiful thing is that we will not be ashamed if we believe on him. I think too easily we get confused and worried about, well, what if we don't have it quite right? If we're believing on Jesus, we won't be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a statement of God's desire for everyone. He is the universal God, the universal Savior. He's not prejudiced. He has the same plan for every person, no matter what their history. I think I'm challenged by knowing that the Jews were very prejudiced. They thought that they were the special people of God. In some ways, they were. God had them there for a purpose. But he also had a plan for including other people into his chosen people. And it challenges me to think, how do I view other people? Do I view people with potential like God does? Or do I view them as stuck in their past or because of their past? Verse 14 through 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I love this progression. It asks them, I would call them rhetorical questions. It seems like it's a given that you can't believe if you haven't heard. You can't hear if someone doesn't tell you. Someone can't tell you unless they go to you, unless they've been sent. So the circle of salvation follows these steps. One, person one is sent. Two, person one preaches. Three, person two hears them preach. Four, person two believes. Five, person two calls on God. And six, person two is saved. And I think, by implication, if we're saved, we are sent. God has sent us. I think of the Great Commission as a universal sending. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I think we can get hung up on where are we being sent. Well, there's people all around us, and they all need to hear. But I had another question I asked my wife in bed last night. Why feet? Why are feet what God describes as beautiful of those that are going and preaching the gospel? I don't know, maybe you guys have a thought. I was like, why not beautiful lips? Why is it feet that are beautiful? Obedience. It's action. That's what I came up with, sort of, was that anything you do with your feet includes purposefulness. Like, in order for you to get up and go somewhere, you got to decide to do it. The preparation, I had to think of Ephesians 6. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In fact, that's the only other place that gospel and peace are in the same verse. The preparation that gets you into motion and gives your lips somewhere and something to say. Another thing that stuck out to me from this verse was, as I looked into, I like to look at the interlinear, look at the Greek words that are used, and preach the gospel and bring glad tidings are both the same Hebrew word, something like evangelizo. I'm assuming the base of evangelism. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and preach the gospel of good things. The another thing that I noticed here that it seems like the gospel is so tied to preaching, almost like if we believe the gospel, we'll be speaking about it. If we truly count it as something good, it just comes out of us. I met a guy this week that he came to rent my mini excavator, and my mini excavator was having problems, so he was helping me work them out, and found out that he's worked for a bunch of different rental companies doing their heavy machinery mechanics. And I was like, wow, this is the right guy to have right now. So I said, well, maybe I should hire you to do this. He said, well, he's not going to be here very long. He's they're giving him 2 years to live. He has arterial dementia and what's the other old people's disease? Alzheimer's. So I was like, well, are you prepared for the next life? And he was like, oh yeah, I made preparations for that a long time ago. So we got talking, and yeah, just the peace that he had in his life was refreshing, I guess, after working with Brigida and her uncertainty and feeling like it seems like she needs to keep living because she's not ready for anything else, although there's not much to live for anymore. Anyway, so yeah, his purpose in his life also was obvious. He said he believes that God has something for him yet in his life that will supersede everything that he's done in his whole life up to this point. And I was like, wow, that's, he said, he knows when he sees it, he'll know what it is, but he's looking for it. I guess him and his wife are traveling to see the world together as much as they can in his last days here. But that's why I mentioned that how refreshing it was to see a person with peace. And we talked about how it doesn't make sense for us to hang on to life if we really believe in heaven. We'd be sort of dumb to stick around. And then he agreed, and he said that he feels bad for people that don't. And he shared the story that he said, I think it was this last week, he was in Walmart, and he met someone else that has dementia. And the person obviously didn't have peace, didn't know God. And he said, we got into a long conversation. We talked for over an hour, and said, I believe by the end of the conversation, the person had met God. And it's like, wow, that's amazing for somebody with dementia to reach out to someone else and help them to know their creator. So his dementia, the arterial one, is, I guess, his blood vessels in his head are get attacked by the disease, and so they burst, and so he has many strokes. So he said he's had, he thinks, 7 so far since he got diagnosed, and any one could be the last one, but you either don't recover from them or you pull out of it and keep going. So I was surprised to see him driving around by himself, but I guess if it's the end, it'll be the end when the time comes. Anyway, but that's, yeah, the simple gospel is that if someone hears, they can believe. I also wondered, who does the sending in these verses? It says, how can they preach except they be sent? I think there's a place for a church sending people, and I had to wonder, maybe we should be sending each other out on a weekly basis. And when I think of Paul and Barnabas being sent out, they came back and they rehearsed everything that God had done. Maybe that should be a part of our weekly engagement with each other. It should be sending each other out and then rehearsing everything that God has done through us in the week. Who is within foot distance of us? Where can our feet send us? Where can we go with our feet? Okay, verse 16. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think, whatever, for me, this verse really resonates with me because it feels like it's some of the hardest news, is that just because people share doesn't mean that people believe. Not everybody's going to believe. We can't get everyone to believe by sharing what we believe. But the follow-up verse is encouraging. It's only through hearing that faith is possible. So we should keep sharing. I also looked up the Young's literal translation, I think it is, the YLT. For verse 17, it says, so then, the faith is by a report, and the report through a saying of God. So who hath believed our report? In verse 16, it tied those together And I felt like, yeah, we need to keep giving our report so that other people can acquire faith. And yeah, when I think back to my childhood, a huge piece of my faith is tied up in hearing the stories of other people getting saved and knowing that the gospel has power. Okay, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words into the end of the world. This verse reminds me of where Paul also said that he goes everywhere that he tries to go anywhere that Christ was not preached, and that I think it's in that same passage he says he's gone throughout all the world from this place to this place. Makes it sound like there's nowhere that the gospel's left to go. This verse also seems that way. Does it mean that everyone has heard something of the gospel? Or at least that there is, or at least they've heard that there's such a thing as God followers? I don't know. But the good news spreads, and yeah. I took encouragement from it that just because someone has heard once doesn't mean that we should stop sharing. I think the more we hear, the more chance there is for us to believe. So that's the same for others. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I feel like he wraps up this chapter circling back to one of the big themes that he has in Romans, and it seems like in almost every one of his writings, that the Jews need to let go of their special status. And everybody is in the same boat, that God's plan includes all of humanity. Yeah, and also God is in the business of being found. Stuck out to me that it was people that weren't seeking him that were found of him. And I had to think, maybe that's the reason that we're sent out, is because God needs people to seek people out. It's not just going to be the seekers that are found. It's going to be those that aren't seeking. I had to think, maybe we could be a silent witness if it was only the seekers that we were after. If they were seeking, they would see us and they would find God. But because they're not seeking us, we need to manifest God to those who are not seeking. So yeah, I want to encourage us all that everyone has potential. Never doubt it for yourself and never doubt it for others. Whether that potential is for sharing the gospel or hearing the gospel and believing. Yeah, I guess that's what I have for you. So hopefully it was an encouragement, and may we all find grace to share with others. So that they can believe. God bless you.